once again to the Jeff Merrick Show. Glad you're with me today. Plenty to get to from last night, once again. More players on COVID-19 lists. It's like a roll call we have to take at the beginning of each program. Montreal, Brendan Gallagher, Sammy Niku, placing COVID-19 protocol. Dom Ducharme saying both players are asymptomatic. Jordan Binnington, netminder for the St. Louis Blues, goes on their COVID-19 protocol list today. And yesterday, Detroit Red Wing winger Tyler Bertuzzi goes on the COVID list. Last night around the NHL. Toronto Maple Leafs smashing the Colorado Avalanche, and I don't use that term lightly. Smashing the Colorado Avalanche, 8-3 is the final. And as Jared Bednar, their head coach, said about Jonas Johansson, he wasn't good. It wasn't the netminder's best night. Darcy Kemper injured. Johansson comes in and surrenders 8 goals. Matthews with a hat trick. Kadri with a pair, 8-9 on the season. McKinnon with a pair of assists. John Tavares with 3 points. John Tavares has 25 points in 23 games so far in the NHL this season. Talk to Elliot about him in a couple of moments. Elliot on the show last night. Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey talking about John Tavares and Olympic consideration. That is if we get there. And right now there are zero guarantees as the days continue around the NHL and COVID lists grow. Toronto Maple Leafs now with 35 points. That is tops in the NHL, but by winning percentage, they are in fifth. They are behind the Oilers. Get to them in a moment. Florida Panthers, Carolina Hurricanes, and the New York Rangers. Remember on game one, on the season, day one, game one, Washington Capitals just have their way with the Rangers in that opening night. We were all expecting fireworks. Meanwhile, the Washington Capitals, just from the opening puck drop, dominated the Rangers. And we said, well, we thought the Rangers would be better this season. Maybe we need to recalibrate. Rangers are good. And their goaltender, for my money, Igor Shesterkin, top goaltender in the NHL so far this season. Rangers over the Flyers 4-1. Shesterkin, 33 saves, some of them spectacular. One of them without his goal stick and using a defenseman's instead. He don't care. 8th win in the last 9 games for the Rangers. Kaapo Kakko, by the way, if you're not paying attention, he's been heating up. 2 assists last night, 8 points in his last 7 games. Former second overall draft pick in the Vancouver draft, number 2 behind Jack Hughes. He's starting to get going. Chris Kreider scores again. Kreider's got 16 goals on the season. That left side looks scary. And speaking of the left side, Artemi Panarin with 1 goal and 1 assist. The 4th win in a row for the Rangers. Gerard Gallant has this team humming. Meanwhile, Philadelphia Flyers, what more can you say? Bad. Another bad performance. 7 losses in a row. Can't score. Game against New Jersey, 2 goals. Game against Florida, 1 goal. Game against Tampa, 0. Last night, 1. You know, they lost to Carolina 6-3. They managed to score 3 goals, but that, to them, is an 80s outburst. The Flyers don't play again until next Monday, where they have a 5-game week. We talked about that yesterday on the program. That is a hell week coming up for the Philadelphia Flyers. You wonder if that's the season right there. And you wonder, now that Philadelphia has this time off, what's going through the mind of Chuck Fletcher? I know the other day he said, our answers are in that room. We're going to try to solve our problems there. And then the team comes out with that effort. Speaking of efforts, bad one from Ottawa last night as well. Vancouver, look at you. 6-2 is the final score. Ottawa, 4-15-1 on the season. This is after waiving Matt Murray, a move that I believe in some regards was meant to shock the Ottawa Senators, shock the players. We're taking this seriously. We better turn this around. Lifeless performance from the Sens yesterday. More of the same faces being interviewed afterwards. More from DJ Smith. 4-15-1. to start the season. Oilers beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-2. Connor McDavid, excellent. Wash, rinse, repeat. 4 points. One goal and three assists. Zach Hyman with a pair of goals, his 10th and 11th. The Penguins have now lost three in a row. They're 10-8-5. Fourth in the Metropolitan. Jake Guentzel, though, his point streak continues, now at 11. Edmonton has won three in a row and five of their last six. That was some of last night. That'll bleed into this conversation with Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts, the blog and the podcast. Friedge, before we get to a couple of things here, I want to go over Ottawa and Toronto and have a chance to talk about the Detroit Red Wings as well. A report this morning that was shot down quickly by the Arizona Coyotes. Eric Macromella, who does work with TSN and Forbes, citing Michael Ozanian, saying that the Arizona Coyotes are for sale. Speculation of a move to Houston, etc. The Coyotes were quick to shut this one down. But is there anything to it at all, Friedge?
I don't necessarily know if there's anything in particular to this one. I just think that until we get clarity on what the Coyotes are going to do next year, we're going to see a lot of this. I was talking about it with someone after that story broke this morning. I guess the commissioner has now denied it too, to Craig Morgan, who reports out there that I was just saying to someone this morning that it's going to be like this until we know what happens. The story is not going to go away. And, you know, the Houston thing in particular is interesting to me because, number one, it makes geographical sense. You can keep the team in that division, right? And you create a rivalry with Dallas. Houston is the biggest market out there that doesn't have an NHL team in North America. But the one thing is that the owner of the Rockets, who would be the natural guy there, Fertitta, he hasn't shown a lot of interest in owning an NHL team. Like, I think there would be a lot more rumors about Houston and potentially a lot more certainty about Houston if Fertitta had been in a situation where he really wanted an NHL team. The word was a couple of years ago when his name popped up that he was happy to have one as a tenant, but he wasn't really offering what the league would consider market value to own it. So that's always been the problem with Houston. Do you want to go there as a tenant in the Rockets building, or do you want to go there with your own arena, which might take years to build? So that's the problem I've heard with Houston. But, you know, the situation with the Coyotes is such that until we have clarity on what they're doing next year, we're just going to have to live with a lot of this. The thing I do believe, and this has been proven historically, is that Bettman leaves a market only as a last resort. Atlanta, it was time. They couldn't save it there. He had a backup plan. Winnipeg, it was his last resort. He will only leave Arizona as a last resort.
You know, it's funny. This would have been, when was I doing Hockey Night Radio? This would have been 2008. I think it was in the first year that I was doing it on Sirius, and I had the commissioner on, and I said, you know, how do you know when it's done for a team in a market? And his answer, and I'm paraphrasing here, was something along the lines of when nobody wants to own it there anymore. Like it was like that blunt. And to your point, like Atlanta, like they had exhausted, and we can all remember the infighting on that Atlanta ownership group until they finally just, you know, threw the keys on the table and there was nobody else. But as long as there's someone that wants to own a team there, that team will stay there, Elliot, you know. And to me, Houston is interesting because that's a city that we've heard rumored around the NHL. He's going back to when Les Alexander was there, right? When
he, yeah, Edmonton.
When he owned the Rockets. Edmonton, that was once a rumor. Edmonton was going to go to Houston. You know, now getting off on a Houston tangent here. I was told years ago that, I don't know if there was, and maybe the word promise is too strong, but there were at least conversations that when Dallas moved from Minnesota, that there were conversations about getting them a state rival, that was the plan for NHL going into Texas. Like, okay, we've got the Dallas Stars. You will at some point get your state rival. Had you ever heard that one?
I hadn't, but it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, all you have to do is take a look at, look, the leagues are all about footprints, right?
Yes.
One of the reasons they liked Arizona was it was a big market without a team, and it was a southwestern footprint for the NHL. One of the things they talked about with Seattle was when they put them in this year, you know, someone said to me it was the right footprint. It made sense, Pacific Northwest. And so you look at it in North America, well, not counting Mexico City, what's the biggest market in North America without a team?
Yeah.
It's Houston. So, of course, it makes total sense from a purely business point of view. And the NHL is a league, you can totally understand why it would grow there. You know, the key to Houston in the future might be Tim Leiwicki. You know, what was the number one reason they didn't go to Seattle for a long time? Because they couldn't get an arena there. Now, Tim Leiwicki, who does these things, solves the problem. He grinds away and he solves the problem. He gets them a beautiful arena in Seattle, and all of a sudden there's a team there. If you don't want to be a tenant for the Rockets, and I do think that's obviously a big issue for the NHL, and it should be, if the owner there doesn't really show a lot of interest in owning a hockey team, then you have to find a plan that works. And let's just say Tim Leiwicki finds them an arena that could solve the problem. But until you get it built, that's what, 3 to 5 years? Mm-hmm. Doesn't really solve your problem. I just think, like I said, Jeff, that the Canucks are going to have to deal with these kinds of rumors until we sort out where they're playing next year.
You know, that's interesting, your point about the building as well. The 2004-2005 lockout was really all about, well, it was about two things. It was about the salary cap and bring me the head of Bob Goodenough, the executive director of the Players Association. The 94 lockout, that was the one where it became obvious to the relatively new commissioner that what the league needed was everybody to own their buildings. They could not be tenants anymore. And coming out of 94, going into 1995, that was very much an edict from NHL head office. We need to own our buildings. We can't be tenants in these rinks anymore. Okay, so we'll park the Arizona story. The Coyotes have shut it down, to your point. Commissioner Ira Gary Bettman has shot it down, as well. To the games last night, the Maple Leafs.
So I just got a text from one of my buddies. Everybody denying this means it's obviously true, right? And I'm like,
that's
you're so
always
cynical.
The way, yeah.
You're so cynical. Like, how can you live life being so cynical?
The lady doth protest too much. The lady doth, all you Shakespeareans out there. Maple Leafs, holy smokes. Hat trick by Austin Matthews. He was, outstanding. Like, there was nary a poor performance in that Maple Leaf lineup last night. And listen, you made the point after the first 20 minutes on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey that, you know, outside of the Samuel Girard goal with, like, was it 0.3 seconds remaining in the first, you know, probably the best period of hockey we've seen the Maple Leafs play this year. Your thoughts on what we saw as they really took it to Colorado in a game where, you know, there's some built-in excuses here. First game back from the road trip, etc., but they came out hungry for each.
Well, first of all, settle a debate for me, Merrick. Which of Matthews' two goals, or three goals, the two of them that really stood out, which one was nicer, the between the legs one in front of the net, or the wrister goal down the wing?
The wrister down the wing is a really tough short side goal to score. But the one in front, see, here's why I'll go with the one in front, because it's in really tight, and so he's got to have the quick hands. But to me, you know what makes that play is Mitch Marner giving out bad information. Everybody's biting that Marner's going back to the point on that. No one thinks that Marner's firing it to the slot. Like, just firing it to the top of the crease. Like, if you watch where Marner, I remember, you know, some of the best advice I've ever given my kids about hockey is when you're out there on the ice, make sure you're always giving out bad information. And Marner does it perfectly. He has everybody biting that he's putting this thing back to the point, and he fires it to Matthews. So it's not just the move itself, but it's the entire play. That's why I'll go with the between the legs goal. What about you?
You know, first of all, I think we should call this segment "Make sure you give out bad information." I think that as you're doing that, I'm thinking, what a perfect name for this segment.
Yeah, bad information.
It's Elliot Friedman. Elliot Friedman. It's the Jeff Barrick Show with Jeff Barrick, and here's Elliot Friedman deliver some bad information. Well, I agree with you. I had someone else who said to me, if you take a look at the entire Matthews goal, there were also the third one, there were also phenomenal plays from Marner and Bunting that someone credited, which I think is fair. But I'm with you. I thought that, I mean, the reason I voted for the one in front of the net was because not that the third goal is anything to sneeze at, but we've seen Matthews do that one before. This was a jaw dropper because it was so different and unique. Look, like they were great last night. And, you know, I was on yesterday with Bourne and Nick, and, you know, we're talking about the Toronto's run right now. And the tough thing for me is last year, everybody in Toronto was awarding the Stanley Cup after that three-game set in Edmonton, right? Yes. So we've seen, like, I mean, all you can do is beat the teams on your schedule, right? Like, we know that everybody is sitting here waiting for the playoffs, but, you know, you can't rip it. You can't rip a team for winning 15 out of 17. Like, they're on a great streak and they're playing really well. And, you know, the Colorado goalie had a terrible night, but you got to take advantage of what's right in front of you. And, you know, that game last night, that was as impressive a victory as I've seen them have in a while. Like, they took a really good team with, you know, Kadri back at home, McKinnon, you know, coming back. You knew they'd be wired to play, and they completely dismantled them. They dominated them. And that's just a huge, impressive victory for them. And, you know, they've got a tough weekend coming up. They've got Minnesota, Winnipeg back-to-back. We'll see where it goes. But it was a really impressive win. And, you know, I was thinking, why didn't they pull Johansson? And then I realized they got to play again tonight against Montreal, and they need that backup to play.
The issue of the injury to Darcy Kemper is always, listen, when it's Darcy Kemper and there's an injury, you always get a little bit concerned because we've seen it before, and this is a big year for the Colorado Avalanche, and you have Bednar coming out last night after the game saying essentially our goalie was no good. I mean, you can't sugarcoat this one at all. I don't know. We make a lot about Edmonton and their goaltending and what are they going to do. There's a lot riding on Darcy Kemper staying healthy with the Avalanche here. Like, they've got a murderer's row on the back end. They got guys that can fill the net. They're a deep team. They got highly skilled guys. But you've seen teams like this before, Friedge, where all of it gets undone with either an injury to a goaltender or questionable goaltending.
It's they also don't have Francois right now, too, who's their backup, backup.
Yeah, he's gone to the Eagles on a conditioning stint, so he's on the way back. So he's on the way back. But still, like, this is a sensitive time, man. This is a sensitive time for the Avalanche.
It's a big challenge for them. There's no question about it. Like, I think they're a really smart team, and I think they will deal with it if they see fit. But at the very least, like, when I look at Edmonton, you know, I give Koskinen a lot of credit. He's given them minutes. I give Skinner a lot of credit. He's been very good for them. But, you know, I have the same question for Edmonton that I do for Colorado, and that's pending Smith's health. It's, you know, how comfortable are you saying that if Kemper is out of the picture or Smith is out of the picture, we're going with this to win a cup?
I see.
And they still have runway to answer those questions.
Yeah.
But those are the questions you got to answer.
So someone texted me last night saying, are the Oilers going to talk themselves into thinking they don't have a goaltending issue? And I don't have the answer for that.
It's a great question.
I've always just assumed, Friedge, like, this is while the game's going on last night, Edmonton, Pittsburgh. My buddy just sends me the note, like, are they going to talk themselves into believing they don't have a goalie issue?
Does your buddy work for the Oilers? That's my next question.
No, he doesn't work for. He does work for the Oilers.
But maybe he's trying to get you to get it out there. So he's trying to lobby Ken Holland.
Yeah, perhaps. But it is an interesting question. Okay, so here's another one. Then I'm going to name you. I'm going to name you the top five picks from the 2020 NHL draft. Okay.
Yeah.
And you tell me who you think the best player is right now. Now, it's unfair because one of them hasn't played a game in the NHL, but work with me here.
Yeah, but you're not interested in fairness. I understand.
Listen. What's the name of the show? Bad Information. Here we go.
Bad Information.
Alexis Lafreniere, Quinn Byfield, Tim Stützle, Lucas Raymond, Jake Sanderson. Who's the best player right now?
you know, it's Raymond. And, you know, I'm like, I know people are all over Stutzla's numbers. That doesn't really bother me. I still think he's going to be fine.
Same.
You know, I'm concerned about Ottawa. There's no question about it. I didn't like what I saw last night. You know, like, you know, Vancouver earned the win. No problem with that. I just didn't like the goals that were scored. You know, the first goal of the game, you know, Ottawa had some opportunities to the first Vancouver goal. Ottawa had some opportunities to get the puck out or win battles. They didn't. Vancouver scored. You know, the Gaudette goal was the one that he gave up on a bad giveaway. But, you know, the Shannon, the Miller goals concern me. And, you know, like, I understand it's not the 1980s anymore. You can't cross-check five times and pile drive a guy into the ice. But you can't allow that. Especially in a 5-2 game. You know, JT Miller is a hell of a player. You can't allow him to walk through you like that. Luke Shannon's a really good player. You can't allow him to walk through you like that. And, you know, I just think that, you know, like, what I would worry about that for Ottawa is that you're worried that your young players are starting to, I don't know if accept defeat is the right word, but they're beginning to think that that's kind of where they are, that we just lose games like this. And you have to stop that. You have to stop that. It's a big challenge, but you have to do it. But anyway, to answer your question, Raymond's the guy right now, right? And I think it's really interesting that it's really interesting that Sweden, according to a report from Aftonbladet the other day, has asked to put him on the Olympic list. Because you're not doing that. Right. Yeah. You're not doing that unless he's legitimately got a chance of going.
Totally. And
I'm still laughing. Now, wait a sec. If you had a vote for the Calder, and if I had my way, you wouldn't be allowed to vote for anything, like including in real elections. But if you had a vote for the Calder and you were voting for Detroit and you were picking one of Detroit's guys, are you voting for Raymond or are you voting for Sider?
Okay, so you and I have talked about this before. I have a default to defenseman. That is my default setting, all things being equal. But I cannot go against Lucas Raymond. What Lucas Raymond has been able to do at the NHL level, playing top line on a consistent basis, to me is stunning. Like, this is like we're into like rookie Yzerman territory here with Lucas Raymond. Now, I love Sider, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I love the new age Cronwall, and he's got an offensive side to him. And I love the fact that he was that surprise pick. You know, how much do you love that, where someone goes off the board and grabs someone like 10 or 15 spots higher than everyone thought he was going to go, and it works. Like, I love everything about Sider. The only thing is, man, what Lucas Raymond's doing here is real special. And he's doing it on a consistent basis. Much as I'd love to hot take this thing, I got to go Lucas Raymond.
Well, I think the thing, too, that about Detroit is that, you know, Bertuzzi's obviously in COVID protocol. They announced it last night.
Yeah.
But generally, when he has not played, they've cratered.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, they're obviously an improving team, but they don't have the depth yet to overcome generally a guy like Bertuzzi not being in the lineup. And last night they won without him. And like, that's a big deal for me if I was Detroit. That, you know,
well, we don't have him
and we won.
I don't mind Robbie Fabbri in that spot, though. Like, I thought Robbie Fabbri looked like, I watched the game and I'm like, Robbie Fabbri looks good there. Like, I know Tyler Bertuzzi is having one of these special seasons right now by his standards. And that line with Larkin Raymond is one of the tops in the NHL. But I thought Fabbri looked really good up there. Like,
he did.
Here's the thing about Robbie Fabbri, Freach. Does it not feel like Robbie Fabbri has been in the NHL for 15 years? He's 25. Fabry's only like 25 years, but he feels like he's been in the league forever. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a good hockey player. Like, I don't know. I get it with Bertuzzi. He's having a wonderful year, and that line really grooves when he's there, but I don't mind Robbie Fabbri there. I'm cool with it. I like it. You mentioned Ottawa. Let's spend some time here, and they're on their way to Carolina right now. And
boy, that's a tough back-to-back. That is a tough back-to-back.
that
you're not exactly set up for success in that one.
No, like, listen, we all know how good the Carolina Hurricanes are here. So they've got, oh man, it's not good. So, Carolina Hurricanes, Ottawa Senators, 7 o'clock Eastern. Ottawa is coming off laying an egg against the Vancouver Canucks. I don't know if Pierre Dorion is on the trip, if he's making his way there with the team, but you know, many people have made the point. You know, Ian Mendez talks about it on The Athletic on a regular basis. I don't know how many more microphones DJ Smith can handle getting shoved at him after losses and disappointments until we finally say it's time for the general manager to speak up here. But does it not feel like it's time? Like you have to? I mean, Vancouver did this a week and a half ago with Jim Benning.
Yeah, that's Benning.
Travis needs like the release valve here. The GM needs to speak. Did we say the same thing about the Ottawa Senators now? Last in the NHL, the jolt to the system didn't work. If anything, it had the opposite effect. Murray gets sent down to Belleville, and the team plays even worse the very next game. Is it time for Dorion to get out in front of a camera?
Well, look, I have a line I use with you all the time, and that is I only judge others as I judge myself, right? Yeah. And I would say that if I was in a position of power and my team was going through what it's going through, I would say to myself and the organization, it's not right that only one person is answering for this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I would feel. I would say, look, like, DJ, that's part of your job, that you have to face this every day, but you reach a point where you have to step up and say, look, I can't make you do this alone. I have to come out and take some of these flesh wounds myself. Now, I'll tell you, last night, Kyle showed, Bukauskas showed a shot of the morning skate where, you know, there was members of the front office sitting in one section, and then another member of the front office, I think it was Pierre Dorion, was sitting away.
Yep.
And, you know, you never know. Like, I always careful with those things. Like, you never know if someone's taking a call or something like that, but it mm-hmm. didn't look good. It really didn't look good. And, you know, but I still think at the end of the day, if you play a role, there comes a point where you have to say, look, I can't let just DJ answer for this. I have to step up too.
Mm-hmm. Does it not feel like there is, and, you know, said Matt Murray was one thing, but does it not feel like there could/should be something significant happening here with Ottawa? There was a lot of, and listen, hindsight is 2020. I get it, and I'm sure if they could, you know, take back the rebuild is over conversation at the beginning of the year and it's mm-hmm. playoffs, and you know, lulled into this, you know, hypnotized into this false sense of where they were at based on, you know, the last little while in the season last year. They had an awful start last season, as we all know. I'm sure they'd want to take all of it back. But do you not get the soap and warm water feeling that something's coming here? Like,
well, I think there's
dark clouds around all of this for you.
No question. But you know, Dorion just got an extension. Mm-hmm. DJ just got an extension. Smith. Mm-hmm. You know, like, teams are not really too eager to do that. So I don't know. I just think there's been so much turmoil there from top to bottom. Like, I really feel that until the direction of that franchise is cleaned up and that is fixed, I don't know how you're going to be successful. I just think it's an enormous challenge. Mm-hmm. I really do. And, you know, like, until your franchise is working properly from top to bottom, are you giving yourself the best chance to win? Like there's one guy I know, and he always talks about GM jobs. He says, look, there's only 32 of them, so people are going to take them. But one thing he says is everybody in the league knows where you – the ownership setups, the team setups, where you really have a chance to win. And, you know, I think the way it is in Ottawa right now, I think you've got people trying to do the right things, but I just don't know if you really have the best chance to win.
We'll see. Tonight, the Ottawa Senators in a tough one. They face off against the Carolina Hurricanes, one of, if not the, according to some, top team in the NHL. Okay, Friedge, there you go. Thanks. We'll talk to you in, what, like 2 hours when we do the next podcast?
Yeah, now I got to tell you, so I got a new setup, so we shouldn't get any interfering calls. And, yeah. Jeff, today, to be a good teammate, I finished eating before the call started.
Our little boy's growing up. This is such a proud moment.
And also, ask Fitzgerald why he would agree to come on with you like twice in 2 weeks. Like, I don't understand that.
Oh, Tom Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming up in our two. I should have mentioned that off the top. I got too caught up in my own voice. Surprise, surprise. Tom Fitzgerald, Devils general manager, coming up. Well, listen, man. He's like, he's got a good team. They got the Jack Hughes contract. And, you know. To be honest with you, I just like talking about the Devils these days. I think you're the same with Jack Hughes. I just find them a fascinating squad.
So I think they've done a really good job. Like that team is, I think that team is better than we kind of thought they were. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And Dawson Mercer is money for the squad. Okay.
Say it next. 8 times 8, Dawson Mercer. Speak to you later, Jeff.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. There you go. Getting the contract done for Dawson Mercer. 8 times 8. The Jack Hughes deal for everybody. It's Tom Fitzgerald's Oprah moment. Everyone gets paid in New Jersey. We'll hit a break. Here's what's on the show a little bit later on. I mentioned Tom Fitzgerald, Devils general manager. Helena St. James from the Detroit Free Press and author of The Big 50, Detroit Red Wings. She'll stop by to talk to us about the squad that beat Seattle last night in a shootout 4-3. They've won 4 straight games. And Lucas Raymond continues to turn heads. Sam Carcitti from the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Flyers have lost 7 straight. So that spin continues. In the meantime, boy, we're getting heavy here. We're going to leave a lot of time for him. Arda Okal from ESPN is going to be dropping by here in a couple of moments. We'll talk about some of the action from last night and probably focus in on the Rangers to start. Thanks for joining me today. More of the Merrick Show in moments across the Sportsnet Radio Network.